It's Sunday morning, time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And thank you for listening this morning. I hope you enjoy the show. I'm going to start off with the bag tax. That's the BAG, bag tax. That we, who might visit the city of Chicago, a retailer or a store or grocery store or anything, where you buy something that goes in a plastic bag, as of Wednesday morning, we had the pleasure of paying a bag tax. And starting off with this, because it seems to me that if we had thought this through, and we were actually going to impose a tax on everyone in the city of Chicago who uses a plastic bag, we might want to know how these funds are really going to be spent. Numerous retailers are offering credits for individuals who bring in their own recyclable bags. And obviously, I believe, as many of you do, we want to minimize our waste. And if you ever want to see the impacts of plastic bags on an environment, just go to a Central America and have a look. Last year was in Nicaragua, and I was struck again, as I have been throughout my travels through Central America, that the plastic bag is the equivalent of the Christmas ornament on trees that never come down. The roadsides, trees, bushes, everything is littered with plastic bags throughout Nicaragua and much of Central America. And they just don't go away. They blow in the wind, and then they don't degrade, and they lay there for years. So it's a great thing to try to get plastic bags out of our society and out of our landfills and to have us be more responsible, if you will, about how we're treating our environment. I'm all for that, and I'm sure most of you are as well. But when it comes to taxing people to make them do something, that's a different story. And in the case of Chicago, if they wanted to, which they have, if they want to tax us to buy plastic bags, not buy plastic bags, but to have plastic bags when we go out of grocery stores or retailers, then let's use the money to really do something great for the environment. Let's not just use the money to go into that great big black hole of City Hall into a spiraling deficit of the city and just to be used to shore up whatever venue might be the most in need of some new tax revenue. Let's create something really useful. Let's maybe make the funds from these plastic bags do something to beautify our lakefront, try to fix the crumbling infrastructure along the lake. If you've taken a walk recently along North Avenue or down through Oak Street or anywhere on the lakeshore from Foster all the way to the city's limits on the south side, you'll just see what kind of terrible condition the city's lakefront is in. And this is our this is supposed to be our great public area, our entree to Lake Michigan. And we have crumbling infrastructure everywhere you look. I mean, there are steel revetments poking through concrete. There's concrete falling into the lake. There are holes that you could bury the front tire of your bicycle or a car in and be in real trouble. So a tax on bags, if it's not going to be used to help improve the infrastructure of the city of Chicago for the environment of the city of Chicago, is really just a tax on the people in Chicago so that the city council and the city can have more revenue simply to spend as they want on whatever pet project. So I, for one, will remember to bring a reusable bag when I go to the grocery store the next time. It helps me think of that because I'm not interested in paying 7 cents a bag. But also, I think maybe we should ask our city leaders, how is this money going to be used? And is it a good idea, in fact, to tax the residents of the city of Chicago for using plastic bags in the first place? Maybe we could have a much better campaign to try to clean up the city and to make our infrastructure better for outdoor recreation, because a bag tax is essentially a tax on the environment. But the funds, it does not seem, are going to end up in bettering the environment. Instead, they're just going to end up being spent in the city of Chicago on programs that are already underfunded, a new tax on all of us who use the city's services. So with that said, I'm going to move on to something else that caught my attention the other day and perhaps a lot of you as well. And that is the closing of Barnum and Bailey's Ringling Brothers Circus. For those of you who grew up in Chicago or attended circuses around the country growing up, you certainly can remember the thrill, as I do, of the Ringling Brothers coming to the city of Chicago and going to the International Amphitheater and having the place packed to the rafters to see the three-ringed Barnum and Bailey's Ringling Brothers Circus. It's an American iconic experience, and it goes back 146 years. But it's over. It's closed. And in part, it's closed because of what I can only call the fanatical animal rights activists who have become involved in both politicizing as well as probably incorrectly characterizing how animals in zoos and animals in circuses are treated. 146 years is a long time to do anything. It's almost as long as, not quite, but within 100 years or so of how long we've even been in existence as a country. The Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus has removed elephants from its performance last May, and ticket sales dropped drastically. Why? Because people like to come watch elephants. And they enjoyed watching elephants and tigers and lions and the whole thing that went on with the circus. It was part of Americana. But the company has battled animal rights activists in very costly court skirmishes and has apparently really lost the much larger fight over public opinion. PETA, which stands for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, has long crusaded against the circus and said that the circuses and zoos inhumanely treat animals. It's a little bit like when you go to the airport and you're checking a dog to fly with you, and someone comes out with a tape measure and measures the crate that your dog is in and looks at you and says, "I'm sorry, your dog is too big for that crate. It's inhumane for the dog to be in that crate, and therefore we will not permit you to transport that dog in that crate. Get a bigger crate." Who loves the animal more? You, the person who feeds, cares for, has raised, sleeps with, lives with this animal, or some individual with a tape measure who's following some government regulation as to how big a crate must be to travel with a dog? I can assure you that personally, I care a lot more about my yellow and black labs than the individual at Delta or United or American that's standing there telling me my dog crate's not big enough for the dog to travel in. I'm not going to do anything that's going to harm my dog. I love my dog. And all of you love your dogs and your cats, whatever pets you might have, a whole lot more than some individual who's operating on some guideline from Washington, D.C., which decrees how big the kennel needs to be for what you can travel with your animal in. The same thing applies to the Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus. The individuals who care for these animals live with them. It's their livelihood. If the animals are sick, they don't go on and the show doesn't go on. If the animals are poorly cared for, they aren't going to do well. They aren't going to perform well. But most of all, the individuals working in the circus love animals. That's why they're in it. If you've ever been in the backstage of a circus, you understand that there's not real money back there, but there's real passion for the animals and training the animals and getting them to do things that show that animals have the ability to think and to act and actually, I won't say be rational, but have the ability to carry out commands. That's all part of the training and the love that's gone into the raising of those animals. And if you're going to the Brookfield Zoo in the next few weeks, or you're going to any zoo around America, you know that those animals are being as well cared for as is humanly possible. Sure, there are exceptions. There are always exceptions. There always is going to be somebody who may not treat an animal as perfectly as in the eyes of somebody else it should be treated. But by and large, the individuals who work in America's zoos and who work for the Barnum & Bailey Ringling Brothers Circus, those individuals cared passionately about their animals. And it's very sad to me, and I think probably to many of you, to think that we've come to a point in our society where individuals such as PETA, who have no attachment to these animals, or the Sierra Club, or the Humane Society, who think that they know better than we do how to care for the things that we love the most, therefore sway public opinion to the point of view where the public turns against something as American as the circus. That's what's happened here. And I think it's a really sad statement on the affairs of America and how we have been manipulated by a very small group of people to make us believe that actually the circus mistreats animals on a regular basis and that it is a horrific thing to have continued. And as a result, they forced the circus Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey to stop using elephants. And eventually that led to individuals stopping to go see the circus because, after all, they couldn't see the animals that they had come to love and want to see. And don't believe for a second that this is not a movement against our zoos in America as well. And at some point, maybe I can have Dr. Stuart Strahl on, who's chairman of the Chicago Zoological Society, one of the great, great individuals in America when it comes to our zoos, and he and aquariums. And you can see what's happening in SeaWorld, and you can just understand how this small group of agitators through the courts is costing tons of money, putting people out of business with irrational arguments. And don't think, as I said for a moment ago, for a second, that zoos aren't next on their list. And the ability to take our kids or ourselves to go look at animals, not in cages, caged animals, but in animals and habitats that are the most possible to replicate the world in which they lived, to help educate us. No, these animals are not running free, but they wouldn't be alive if they were. And they're helping to educate us about their needs on a world wild landscape. That's what zoos do. It's not a place where animals are treated cruelly. So I think that the shutting down of the Ringling Brothers Circus after 146 years really says a lot about where America's going and about how we have been manipulated and how the courts have been used for a very narrow agenda by individuals who have a very big agenda, and that is to close down zoos, close down aquariums, close down circuses. And don't think for a second also that this wonderful movie that's come out, A Dog's Purpose, and if you haven't seen the movie, go see it. It's an absolutely fabulous movie. Isn't in their sights. They're claiming the dogs were mistreated. They were made to do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do. It's a movie that makes you love animals more than you ever could if you didn't before you went to see that movie. And it's a movie that'll bring you to tears. And if you own labs, or own golden retrievers, and or own any or German shepherds or any dogs at all, and you go see that movie, you'll go home and you'll give your dog an extra hug. PETA doesn't want you to do that. They think that these animals are inhumanely treated, and I think they're wrong, and I bet a lot of you agree with me. So I'll be back in just a moment with more on the Great Outdoors Show, but the closing of the circus is a closing of American history and a part of Americana that goes with us. We're not the better off for it. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. I'll be back in just a moment. First, though, a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Hope you're enjoying the show and moving from zoos and movies. I want to just move to a headline that came out last week. Warmest year in 125,000 years last year for the Earth. That's a long time, 125,000 years. But reportedly, it was the warmest that we've ever known, and there are all kinds of alarm bells going off in regards to this report, and I simply pass it on, not with editorial comment, but just simply to say it was reported we had the warmest year in 125 years. The editorial comment I'll make is it depends on where you lived. There are certain areas of the country that last year was not the warmest year on record by any means, and if you are in the West this winter, anywhere in the West, you are having the winter of all winters. It is one of the largest snowfall, coldest winters in history in certain parts of the country and in other parts of the world. So I think it, yes, as a total, the world, they claim, was the warmest. Climatologists claim was the warmest it's been in 125,000 years. But again, like politics, weather is all about local. So with just about a minute left, one thing I do want to talk about that's happening, which means that spring cannot be too far away, and that is the arrival of snow geese back into southern Illinois and Missouri, the Boot Heel. They're working their way north. Here we are in early April, and there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of snow geese that are building up in southern Illinois and across Missouri and all across that latitudinal range all the way out to the Rockies. They are telling us spring is on the way. It can't be that far. And I, for one, have always felt that once the calendar sort of clicks February, as it did last Wednesday, we're kind of over the hump. December puts you into it. January is that month you just want to get through. And then February, and you know, spring can't be too far behind, although it certainly seems like it can often be drawn out. And we're sure to have a pretty good blow of winter yet before this is all over with snow and cold. February can really be a tough month, as can March. But snow geese migrating north, as they are doing now, they're leaving the Gulf Coast, they're leaving the deltas of Mississippi, they're leaving the Arkansas Grand Prairie, and they're headed north, tells us it's not that long before we'll have robins in our backyard and Canada geese going overhead. But if you want to hunt snow geese in the conservation season that is now underway, it is a great time to do so. It's a lot of fun. And the fact is, there are too many snow geese. Their populations need to be reduced. And it's an opportunity to spend some time in the outdoors in the latter part of winter when ordinarily you wouldn't be able to do so. So there are many outfitters in the snow goose business across the heartland of the country who would welcome you. It's an opportunity we didn't have that many years ago due to the expanding population of snow geese. So their arrival to me last weekend in southern Illinois tells me that we're on the way. Spring is coming. Thanks so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter and Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.